Kirk Crew, please.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, there's lots of hymns that touch me, but the truth be told, I'm standing right here because of His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. And I want to ask that you'd indulge me a little bit. My introduction is going to be a little bit long, and it's going to be a little bit of not testimony, but testimony. Not like how I was saved or whatnot, but just some thoughts. The first thing I want to say is I felt pain the other day when Brother Mark left a message on my answering machine. Or it wasn't a machine, but voicemail. He sounded awful, like he really sounded bad, and we need to pray for him. Every word was measured with the utmost of his muscles trying to hold in and suppress a coughing fit, and so I don't at all envy him in his current state. So I just like to pray in beginning and then go from there. Our Lord and our God, we bow in your presence and thank you for your kindness and grace. Lord, what can we say? Great is your faithfulness, and we are here because of that faithfulness. And so, Lord, just commit this meeting to you. Commit our brother Mark to you as he's at home, and we know we'd much rather be here. I pray for his healing. And Lord, for the words I'm about to share, I just pray that you give me utterance and that I'd be able to convey the ideas and thoughts that I'd like to share this morning. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a bit of a short notice, and I think this all kind of ties in now with what I want to say in terms of testimony. I'm a fairly introverted person. I don't like being in the limelight. I don't like being up front and center. I'm quite happy to be in the back and not be noticed. And I'm here right now because of the faithfulness of the Lord. I'm here to share, though my flesh would like to just leave. I can't. I'm compelled. And so here I am. And I think part of my personality that gives me struggle is I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I don't know why, but I am. I'm what you would probably call a very imperfect perfectionist. I know I'm very imperfect, but I try very hard on certain things. And in relation to speaking, I think it's very distracting for me, or very difficult, because well, first off, I'm standing behind a pulpit sharing the Word of God. It's not a small thing. We talked about fear of the Lord this morning, and I certainly fear the Lord. And so that sharing a message, conveying the words of God, is not a simple thing, but also just wanting to achieve that purpose and to do it effectively can be difficult. That's a little bit about my personal struggles. And so I actually decided that I want to make this sermon or this message I'm sharing about preaching, actually. I'm a why guy, and the why guy, I like to understand why things are the way they are. I ask lots of questions, I think through things, try to reverse engineer things in my brain, and sometimes I say, well, why do we do that? Why is that done that way? How come? And I think that sometimes, even as a parent, I think when my children, they go through that why stage, Hannah was doing it. I think sometimes they're not asking the question why because they want to know the answer. They're just asking why, and they don't wait for the answer. I was a why guy. I struggled tremendously in my earlier years because I was trying to figure out life. I didn't get it. I carry that with me pretty much everywhere, but it's, I think, a blessing, though it may be annoying to some people, because it causes me to ask and dig deep and think things through. So I don't ask these things why, to be, you know, to deconstruct things, to leave them in a state of chaos, but I want to know why, for the sake of logic, and just why. Why do we do this? And so, in relation to preaching, there's some whys I have. Why? Not so much why do we preach, but why do we preach the way that we preach? And so what I want to do is I just want to talk about some common preaching things. Common preaching things, culturally, it's this format. It's like this. We're in this room, and one guy, me, for now, until James comes forward, is going to share, 35, 40-minute sermon. And it's going to have 3 points or something like that. And, you know, there's these common ideas that seem to permeate our culture as to why we do certain things. And in terms of preaching, a gifted preacher, if he can somehow manage to keep the attention of everybody for the duration of that 40 minutes, and that he can make his time or his points on time. And then there's a clock there, and everybody's expected to, you know, he's supposed to wrap it up at 12 o'clock and be gone. And these things I find a real big struggle personally. And honestly, I'm not the only one. I've talked with a lot of people, many brothers, regarding preaching. And they actually all pretty much say the same thing. I actually don't know, I haven't talked to every brother, but every brother that I have actually talked to regarding preaching struggles with preaching. A number of years ago, I watched a documentary, and it was on fighter jets, which I like fighter jets. And one of the pilots was talking, and he said that landing a fighter jet on an aircraft carrier in the dark is near impossible. It's a near impossible task. And so he likened it to putting a postage stamp in the middle of a room and running and jumping and landing on it with one foot and making it stick. And I was talking with, actually it was David Ray, and I illustrated that in relation to preaching, and 'cause he too struggles trying to get that idea across and to get everything happen and everything timed perfectly and land in that perfect spot. It's difficult. And I know that probably a lot of this comes, practice makes perfect, as they say, but it is certainly a challenge. The constrictions or the ideas around it, the format to be able to do what it is that we're trying to do. So it's not simple. I know brothers that they don't sleep the night before, just don't sleep, can't sleep. Myself, I couldn't fall asleep till about midnight, and I woke up at 5 a.m. And that's normal, like just completely normal, or feeling very ill, like you're gonna throw up. And so those are things that are grappled with. And then on the other side of it, there's this idea that if it doesn't come easy, if it's not just, you can't just walk right up there and do it, then you lack a gift. You're not gifted. Or it should be easy for a preacher. It should be easy for a preacher if he has that gift, which I don't agree with. I think that based on the numerous people that I've talked with, it's a common struggle. It's common. It's not like that at all, actually. So these are beliefs that are often held by people that actually have never preached a sermon. That's what I find. It's the people that ascribe to that kind of thinking actually don't have never preached a sermon. So what does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? Some observations about preaching from the Scripture. Most, if not all, the preaching done in Scripture was to challenge widely held beliefs and replace them. It's to challenge belief systems, right? What kind of belief systems? Well, they're all in the realm of the spiritual. Think of Jesus. Jesus was constantly battling preconceived ideas of the religious elite. Constantly. Constantly. They had ideas of what things were supposed to be like, yet he was at battle with them. Peter at Pentecost. When he preached at Pentecost, his sermon was not very long. Pretty short sermon. If you look at the book of Acts, the sermons were not long, drawn-out things. They were just right to the point about whatever needed to be dealt with. And Stephen was stoned. He preached a sermon. It wasn't that long. He covered a lot of ground, a lot of territory. But it wasn't a really long sermon. Paul, he went into synagogues and debated people. That was his main method of preaching the gospel, was going into synagogues and challenging the thought in the synagogues. If you think of Moses and the prophets, just constantly challenging the ideas that man had about God. Those sermons were actually short. I want to look at a few things written by the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. It's just one verse. I'm going to read it. You don't have to. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. This is the Apostle Paul writing of himself about the thoughts of other people as they thought of him. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 to 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimonies of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Was Paul a good orator? Probably not. He probably wasn't a good preacher at all. Yet he did a lot of preaching, didn't he? We'll look at Ephesians chapter 3. Three and verse 8. Again, the Apostle Paul speaking. To me, who am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. What's the purpose and the mission of preaching? Paul says in verse 9, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What's the point? What's the purpose? It's to reveal our God. That's the point and the purpose of preaching, to share the gospel, to allow people to understand and know the purposes of God. And in verse 10, it says, by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So not only does the preaching of the word of God reach to all people as it's proclaimed, but it's also a testimony to the prince of the power of the air, principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This amazing thing that we see that called the church is it's amazing. God has chosen to save people to glorify himself, but in that he is glorified. This the spectacle that Jesus Christ has made, that we read about in Romans. I'm just going to have to go there because I can't. My brains don't work that well. It's Romans 5. Sorry. This was not in my notes, so unfortunately I'm going to be a second. You know what? I'm not going to read it. It just says he displayed whom he displayed publicly. God is the justifier, and he put our Lord Jesus Christ on display. Now that display is for us, for the church, and for all. In it ties right in with this principalities and powers in heavenly places. I want to read a few verses out of chapter 4 as well. Chapter 4 and 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The mission of the church and the purpose of the church and the proclamation of the gospel belongs to everybody in the church. In terms of gathering in this room and doing what we do in coming forward for the Family Bible Hour, it's for the edification of the saints. It's for, again, for the proclamation of the gospel. It's our mission, ultimately, is training ground to go forth and to proclaim the gospel in order that we may grow up. This whole passage that I just read, the language speaks of growing. And that's the point and purpose. Preaching is about growth. It's about growth in terms of having our minds renewed and coming in line with in submission to Scripture, and then to take that and share it with others. And again, the spectacle, the public spectacle that is seen in the heavenlies, We read that angels are watching and they long to understand and look into the things that have happened here. So it's really quite an awesome, awesome thing. Our message must have content. It's not about us in our comfort. I mean, obviously, comfort is part of our human condition. I spoke about myself a little bit at the beginning, but what is the idea? The idea is for God's glory. It's a personal relationship, but preaching is not. It's not for the purpose of tickling our ears. It's not about itching ears. It's about God's glory. And it's about the fact that men, women, and children need a Savior. We're sinners. I just want to read a few verses back in 1 Corinthians again. This is Paul again, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. There's a message. The essence of our belief is an arisen Savior, one who died to pay for sins. Back to my analogy of the aircraft carrier. These things are often distractions to us. I know it's a distraction for me. I wish that I wasn't made up the way I'm made up. I wish that I could speak more freely. I often say to people, like if I'm in a prayer meeting, or pardon me, Bible study, or just sitting across a table from someone in a coffee shop, I could probably preach a Eutychus type. Is it Eutychus? When Paul was preaching and the young fellow fell off the balcony, Eutychus. I could probably talk for 2 days straight about the glory of God. But in this format, it's very difficult for me. And they're all distractions. What matters is not the weakness of our flesh and our, you know, whether you're introverted or extroverted or any of that junk. It's just junk. What matters is the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel. So I'm going to close with a couple verses from Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I only know the Apostle Paul through his writings, but I can say I love that brother. No one that I know could gather the elders together as he did in Acts and say what he said. I'm innocent of the blood of all men. How could he say that? The man poured his life out in the proclamation of the gospel, sharing the gospel. And that's what matters. It's not our little, whether a person can speak really clearly or well. It's the gospel. That's what matters. And he's saying here, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering at the time of my departure is at hand. There's a man knows he's going to die. So his last exhortation, or I mean not last exhortation, but his exhortation to Timothy is to preach the word. So I guess for me, my heart is that we would be gracious to one another and look beyond our humanity and our failings and flesh and strengthen one another. I think of our sister, Mrs. Burns, and her struggles with playing the piano. And I know that she struggles, but you know, when we're among friends, that doesn't matter. None of it matters. If we miss a key or don't hear something well, it just doesn't matter.
Thank you, Kirk, for the message here. I think we'll just wrap it up because we're almost out of time here anyway. And Kirk did a great job of giving us a message, pretty much a full message that said a lot, I think, here today. I had a little bit of teachings there from a certain section of the Bible there, but I think we'll leave it for now because you guys probably have something you want to do after 12 o'clock. We have to get to Wexford and whatnot, so we can leave that for another day. It's nice here at Wexford, at Wake Isaiah. At Wake Isaiah, we have an interesting format and we get to hear preaching. And from the heart, like from our brother Kirk here in different aspects of what we do here and how we preach and how we bring the Word of God. Somebody like a brother Mark, we hear a lot of teaching on very specific Bible passages. There's a lot of questions on what's this, and sort of like Kirk had mentioned, why do things work the way they do? And so Bible exposition is very important that we do that from the Word of God. And so anyway, so next week we have Mr. Stan Annenby, and I'm sure we're going to hear another interesting message. We haven't had him for a little while, but he's always interesting to hear. So I'm going to do a little closing prayer, and then we can move on with our day and continue on. And just remember we're always thankful for the Lord, what he provides us here, and even just the Holy Spirit to get up here. Like Kirk said, it takes a lot to be able to get up here behind the pulpit and speak from the Word of God, to speak from the heart, to speak as the Spirit guides us. And it's usually easier when we have a little bit of time to prepare, but when we don't have a lot of time to prepare, it can be a lot harder. So it's a challenge, right? But the Spirit leads, the Spirit guides, and thank God for that. Because again, a little nutshell for a testimony there, I wouldn't be up here at all if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and if it wasn't for the opportunity that Wake Isaiah gives people to do this. When I first started coming here, I didn't expect to ever be standing up here leading him leading or speaking messages. I never would have ever expected that. But I had, on one hand, opportunities, which Wake Isaiah affords people here, the opportunity to express the Word of God and their faith in a tangible way. And I had the Holy Spirit helping me along the way to do what we need to do. And we all have different gifts, not always preaching, there's not always teaching, it's not always speaking. It's not playing the piano for my part of playing the organ, because I certainly can't do that, but some of us are gifted in what they have, and they bring that to us every Sunday, and we're so thankful for that. So let's just give thanks to the Lord for what we have here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, blessed Lord, we thank you so much that through you and to you are all things, and you open up yourself to us through the precious Word of God. And Lord, we just wouldn't know if it wasn't for the preaching of the Master himself, of Jesus in the Bible, preaching to us, if it wasn't for his disciples and apostles like Paul teaching us and preaching to us in the Bible, we would never hear the wonderful word of God and the truth of God. Father, you have some very, very wonderful truth for us in the word of God. And that's, as long as we open that up and we read that and we have the Holy Spirit helping us, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have the word. It's a blessing to have this place that we might come and hear the word. We just thank you for that, Father. We thank you for all things. Thank you for the blessings of this place, that we have a safe and a happy and healthy place to come and express and hear the words of God and to have it move. And Lord, just thank you for the variety of voices we have here at Wake Isaiah. We don't have the same preacher speaking week after week as some churches do. And it's not a bad thing necessarily, but this is what we have here, Lord. And we just thank you that the word of God could come through us. Through the means that you have for us, Lord. We ask your special blessing upon Wexford today and those old folks down there. We know that there some of them are very aged and sometimes it may be the last time they hear the gospel, they hear the message, the last time they get to sing hymns, perhaps on a Sunday, like when we're there to facilitate that, Lord. So please bless Wexford today and bless the people that are there and help us to bring and open the Word of God. Help our brother Don Blood as he opens the Word there and gives a message to them today, Lord, from the heart, from the Word of God, Lord. So we just thank you for all this today. In Jesus' precious name, we ask blessings upon the people here and just say thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.